Okay, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. This is Sunday Satsang, December 24th, 2023. And the first part of the class, we're going to continue discussing understanding Shastra. This is part three of our discussion. Selling
time?
Dharmasala Deshad, Bhandara,
Indarasala.
What time? The point is, these are points about understanding Shastra from Satyanarayana Das Babaji Maharaj from Vrindavan Jiva Institute. And he's describing the preeminent position of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's so many Upanishads, there's Mahabharata, there's Ramayana, there's Bhagavad Gita. There's many famous books of India which are considered topmost shastras. But as we know, the Bhagavatam is often called Grantharaj. But the Sikh followers of Guru Gobind Singh, Sikh gurus, they have a holy book called Granth Sahib. They call it Granth Sahib. So Sahib means like, what does Sahib mean?
Master.
Yeah, so Raj and Master. Sahib and Raj mean the same thing. So we say Srimad Bhagavatam Granth Raj Ki Jai. Granth means sacred spiritual books, scriptures, granted. It's the king of all. So the Sikhs, they call their holy book, it's called, what's it called?
Guru Granth Sahib.
Guru Granth Sahib. So it's the teachings of the Guru and all a certain number of Gurus in their line. They're like the Mahajans for their religion. What they call Sahib, which means the same as Raj. So if you're with the Sikhs, they will argue with you. They say, our Granth Sahib is the Granth Raj. So we say, okay, good, you know, I'm not going to fight with a Sikh. That's not too smart. They're tall, they're strong, they carry knives. So, but what he's trying to make a point here in this discussion about the preeminent position of Bhagavatam, this is what he says. He says, somebody asked a question. They said in different Puranas, different spiritual authorities are cited. Sometimes Brahma speaking, sometimes Vyasa speaking, sometimes Narada Muni speaking, and sometimes Shiva speaking. So, and a lot of times they say different things, like there's a book called Shiva Puran. We have Bhagava Puran, there's also Shiva Puran. There's also Devi, we have Srimad Bhagavatam, there's also a book called Devi Bhagavat. Devi Bhagavat is for worshipping Durga, Shiva's wife, Parvati Durga. It's called Devi Bhagavat. So, there's conflicting views about creation, about the universe, about many points of spiritual reality and tattva. So the person asked the right question, how do we reconcile all these differences? All these sacred scriptures are there, and they're all proclaiming to be the absolute truth and the perfect description, perfect evidence for spiritual truth. So what do we do? What's our response to that? So Satyanarayana Das Babaji says, my first reply is that the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Puran, overrides and cancels all the other statements of the other scripture. In other words, Bhagavatam is the best, is the topmost, the best, and we don't care what you say, basically. Your book says this or that, that's good, we follow the Bhagavatam. So there's not much point of discussion. You accept Bhagavatam, good, if you don't, get lost. That doesn't leave much interfaith religious dialogue. Pretty radical view, but that's a fact. Because Vyasadeva himself, he wrote so many Vedic scriptures, and there's conflicting views in different Vedas. He compiled Vedas. Vedanta Grit, there's a verse in 15 Chatur Gita, chapter 15, verse 15. Sarvasya chahamadi san vishto matasvanti gyanam aponam cha vidyashto sarvami vidyo Vedanta Krit Vedavedi Vishto. Vedanta Krit, I am the writer, I am the compiler of the Vedas. So Vyasadeva compiled, he wrote, he collected all the Vedas, he wrote them, but he didn't speak them all. Sometimes Vedas said, you can sit up here, come up here, up here. That's for Brahmacharis. That's future Babaji's. So that verse in Gita, Krishna is saying that Vyas compiled the Vedas, but he didn't speak all the Vedas. So the person asked the question, Vyasadeva wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, but he wrote so many other books also, and there's conflicting philosophical views. So which one is the topmost? So Sajarayan Das Babaji Maharaj replied that the Bhagavatam is the last word of Vyasadeva. Does everyone know what that means, last word? You don't know what it means, raise your hand. The last word of Vyasadeva. You know what it means? Yes or no?
Yes, yes.
Okay. For example, your father is dying. And he says, these are my last words. In other words, he won't be able to speak in a few more minutes because he's going to leave his body, he's going to die. So the last words he says are very significant. He says, I have my house, I leave my house to my son, and my bank account to my wife. That's the main thing. And then, you know, my assets and different events. Sit up here. Don't sit up there. Sit up here. Tell that person to sit here. Don't sit on the... Sit so you can be seen. Don't hide behind a pillar. That's not the way. You come to class, you come to class. You don't want to come, you can stay away. You're supposed to see the speaker. It's etiquette and it's common sense also. Or watch on the internet. So he's making a point, the position, the preeminent position of Bhagavatam. Because there's so many conflicting statements in Vedas, and like we say our Granth Rajshrima Bhagavatam, but if you're a Sikh, well, they say the Granth Sahib, where Sahib means Raj, it means it's the king of all shastras. For the Sikhs, it's the Guru Granth Sahib. They worship it, and it's an elaborate worship. It's a very nice way they deal, treat their shastras, their murti. Their shastras, they have Guru Granth Sahib, Guru, what do they call it? Temple, what do they call it? Temple.
Gurudwar.
Yeah, Gurudwar. It's the gateway to Guru, it means the gateway to the book. You go in a Gurudwar, there's a book there, the altar is a book. And there's no murti, there's no photograph, there's no pictures. There's a book. I've been there in Daryaganj. There's a place in Old Delhi called Daryaganj. There's a famous Gurudwara there, Daryaganj. Big place. They give you a halva and take your shoes. And a very, very nice place. But my friend lives near there. I can never find his house, so I said, maybe the Gurudwara. Because his house, like going to find his house, has to be a mouse or a rat or something. I go this way, that way, through Chandi Chowk, and this way, the right, this way. Oh, it's crazy. It's like a really fun thing to go around Chandi Chowk. Okay, so that's one point. We're this discussion now, before we have Sunday satsang, we're discussing understanding Shastra. This is the third part of our class. We have two classes already. This is a very important point about understanding the intention of the author, the intention of the speaker. We already said in our last class, people take issue with the Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto of Bhagavatam. If you ever got that far, fifth canto, it describes the nature of the universe, the planetary distances, distance between the sun, the moon, the earth, and all this stuff. And it's completely opposite of modern astronomy, modern science. It doesn't match at all. So modern scientists and logical, reasonable modern people, they condemn the Bhagavatam, they find fault with the Bhagavatam. They say this: if you're a Bhagavatam, can't even describe the planets and what we can see and feel and touch with our material senses, how can your Bhagavatam describe the transcendent reality, the invisible spiritual realm? They can't even describe, if you can't describe the nose in your face, how are you supposed to describe what's in your mind? You can't, you don't have any power of perception. So they criticize the Bhagavatam like this. So then what is our response to that? We say, this is not the intention of Vyasadeva. Rohit, there's a book called Bhagavatam. You ever read it? Okay. And Vyasadeva spoke to Bhagavatam. What is the intention of Vyasadeva? Why did he write the Bhagavatam? Intention means purpose. Purpose, intention. Why did he write the Bhagavatam? What is he trying to do? You understand English? So answer. No answer. Anyone has an answer? I can't hear. Who's speaking?
Wanted to teach what is Shuddha Bhakti.
The intention, why do we study Bhagavatam to learn about the universe? Do we study Bhagavatam to learn about hellish planets? Do we study Bhagavatam to learn about the avatars? Do we study the Bhagavatam to learn about the das avatars, Nrisimha, Vaman, Vrahag? The answer is no. Well, the next question is, why are all these subjects in the Bhagavatam? What's the answer? She was in class last week. I asked the question. Does anyone that know English? Some people don't know English, but most everyone knows English. So the Bhagavatam has many subjects in it, right? Mamantaras, time, karma, varna, ashram, all about different varnas, grihastha, ashram, sannyas, brahmachari, married life, single life, all many things are discussed there, 7th canto, 11th canto, sense control. Why are all those subjects in the Bhagavad Puran? Because it's a Puran. Any book that has the title Puran has 10 subjects in it. One is Srishti, one is Pralaya, one is Manvantara, one is Avatar, one is Kala, one is different family dynasties, the Suryavamsa, the dynasty from Suryadev, the dynasty from Chandradev, Suryavamsa is Ramachandra, so 9th candles are Ramachandra, and the Chandravamsa, the family from Chandra, born under the influence of the moon, is Krishna, he's Chandravamsa, the family of Chandra, so that's in 10th candle. So all these are described there. Every Purana has a story of Richasura. Every Purana has a story of Chitrakeet. Every Purana has a story of Nrisimhadev and Prahlad, but different told. Every Purana has Krishna Lila in it. Vishnu Purana, Skanda Purana, Padma Purana. Padma Purana has Asakaya Lila, Radha Krishna. Did you know that? Asakaya Lila is not a creation of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Right? You know what I mean by Asakaya Lila? 8 periods of the day, Pratakal, Madhyankal, Ratri, like that. Asakali is described in Padma Puran 5,000 years ago. So it's an ancient subject. So all these subjects, every Puran, if it's going to be called a Puran, has to talk, like Shiva Puran talks about all these subjects. You can find Krishna Lila and Shiva Puran. I have many Puranas in my library, Guru Puran, Shiva Puran, they all describe these different things. Some emphasize more different aspects of these 10 subjects. So mostly Puranas just talk about these things. But Vyasadeva, he wrote all the different books, compiled all the different books. Then he said, I want to teach about Uttam Bhakti. What did Rupa Goswami say about Uttam? how did Rupa Goswami define Uttam Bhakti? Anukuryena Krishna Shilana Bhakti Uttama. This is described in verse 11 of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is part of the Mangalacharana verses, Invocatory beginning verses. Because he's saying, what is this book going to be about? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is about Uttam Bhakti. What's Uttam Bhakti? Means pure bhakti, free from selfishness, free from karma, free from jnana, free from any desire for liberation, going back home, back to God. All these concepts are rejected in Uttam Bhakti. So the intention of Vyasadeva writing the Bhagavatam, Rohitji, is to describe what is Uttam Bhakti. What is Uttam Bhakti? What is not Uttam Bhakti? So where in the Bhagavatam, what part of the Bhagavatam, and what persons are described, where does Vyasadeva show what is Uttam Bhakti purely and fully? I'm asking this question. Understand the question? What's the answer? What do you say? I'm saying, listen, there's 12 candles of Bhagavatam. Where in the 12 candles does, because this whole thing is about what is Uttam Bhakti, what is an Uttam Bhakti. Dhruva Maharaj is an Uttam Bhakti, it's Jnana Mishra Bhakti, it's Karma Mishra Bhakti. Brahma's Bhakti is not Uttam Bhakti, it's Jnana Mishra Bhakti. So all kinds of Bhakti are described. So where in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 12 candles, does Vyasadeva describe, this is Tapmas from Uttam Bhakti. And these are the topmost stories. Anupam, you can answer that? Shut up. Yeah, you're here every day in class, why you can't? You can tell me? What do you say? I can't hear.
In 10th canto,
you say. Oh, that's right. Who in 10th canto? Agasura? Bhakasura, Putana? I mean, not too many answers here. The Gopis, Radharani Gopis, you ever heard of Radharani?
Yeah.
The greatest words for the purest devotee, Radharani Ki.
Yeah.
That's where you find the fullest expression of Uttam Bhakti, 10th canto. Describing the Gopis. Now, the old Gopis, you show that, that's what Sairati. The Madhuri Rati Parakhi above of the Gopis of Braj is the topmost, purest form of love for Krishna. So whenever we read a book, we need to understand the intention of the author. Like you read a book called Appreciating Vrindavan Dham. There's a book called Appreciating Vrindavan Dham written by some questionable person. Some Swami. And in there, so what is the intention of the author? Is the intention of the author to glorify squirrels? Galeri Mahima? Is the intention of the author to glorify Bandar? Bandar Mahima? Is the intention of the author to glorify cows? Gomata Mahima? No. That's not the, although that's in the book. You can say, oh, what's this book about? This book is about squirrels. The intention of the author is to glorify Vrindavan, to show his gratitude, his love and appreciation for Vrindavan and everything in Vrindavan. The Vrijvasis, the Yamuna River, the forest, everything. So the intention of the author you should keep in mind. Now there's another point of considering Shastra. There's, when Sanskrit words, there's different levels of understanding Sanskrit words. One is direct meaning. One is implied meaning. One is suggested meaning. One is indirect meaning. And has Sanskrit terms for all these. So I'll give you an example of implied meaning. So whenever you read some passage or some description in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam is called a Kavya Shastra. What does Kavya Shastra mean? It means the Bhagavatam is a poetic book. Kavya means poetry. It's Sanskrit poetry. There's different shlokas, different chandas. Chandas means a poetic meter. Anustu, Shardula, Vikrita, there's Malini, there's different chandas, poetic meters, different verses. They're not all the same. Different number of words and different poetic song. So, it says in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, chapter 19, verse 26, that Sukadeva Goswami was 16 years old. That's what the Sanskrit said. So the direct meaning of the Sanskrit shloka, so that's where it comes in the expertise of the translator. How much the translator knows about kavya, itihas, history, and language, and vyakara and Sanskrit grammar, and tattva, siddhanta, philosophy, hastana, big picture. You just know the small picture, you can't give a full understanding of any reality. You have to be able to see the big picture. You try to judge the valley from the valley, you can't judge the valley very much. But you go to the mountaintop, you get a good idea of the valley. The guy standing on top of the mountain has the best vision, called bird's eye view. Google. Google Global. See your license plate number, zero in your license plate number. Zero in on the grass in your yard, or the weeds you haven't picked out of your garden. So that's called increasing the focus. So the question is, was he really 16? So somebody, a superficial person, say, yeah, it says he's 16. 16-year-old kid is going to give a lecture for seven days to a king with his father in the audience, Vyasadeva, and Vasishtamuni, and Garga Rishi, and Durvasamuni, and Ashtavakramuni, all the great Saptarishis, everyone sitting in the audience listening, in Sukratal, when Sukadeva spoke Bhagavatam Parikshit. Is it possible? The implied meaning is this, he looked like he was 16. You see some people, they don't age very fast. They always show pictures on the net. 2005, some movie star. And they show 2023. She looks the same. You know, because he spends so much money on all that stuff. But anyway, so some people, they look the same after 25 years. I know, I've been in India for 36 years. I know people since they're 18, 19 years old, now they're 55, 58 years old. And they say, look, some of them look almost the same. Almost the same. 18 and 55. That's a pretty good trick. Person at 18, they didn't dye their hair. that's the difference. Now they're 55, there's a little touch-up, you know. What is that? Computer programming. Photoshop. A little Photoshop. Done on their hairdo and whatnot, you know. He looked like, but he's actually much older than that. So you only know the Bhagavatam and the Sanskrit, so, but if you know Mahabharata, you know other shastras also describe Sukadeva. They say he had jata, he had gray hair, met jata. He wasn't, he looked sick, but he looked younger. Yet his face was tight, skin was tight. So sometimes you see some old sadhus, they have gray hair, but they look like kids of face, you know. Plump cheeks and shiny face, and they have gray hair. Like, what is this guy? He dyed his hair or what? He looks like a movie star with gray hair. Like, I bet it makes you look like that. Yogis, you know. So the implied meaning is called Vyanjana Vritti. Another implied meaning when you say he was 16, it means he's beyond time. He was a Mukta Purusha, he was a liberated soul, so he's not affected by time, he's not affected by the Trigunas, Tamagun, Rajagun, Sattvagun. He was beyond the influence of material nature. So 16 is eternally, you know, sweet 16, we say in America. When you're 16, you're old enough to get in trouble, but young enough to be fun. When you cross 16, you're not fun anymore. And you also just get in trouble your whole life. First trouble is college, second trouble is marriage, third trouble is kids, fourth trouble is bills, fifth trouble is death. So a lot of trouble. Stay 16. Don't get married, don't get bills, don't die. Just stay 16 forever. So all those Christians need to be over them. 15 years, 9 months, 7 and a half days. Right? How old is Rarani?
14 years, 2 months.
Let's see how our guests have come up here. How old is Rarani?
14 years,
14 years, we got that far down. Okay, good.
2 months,
we got that down.
15 days.
Thank you. Okay, so you have to keep in mind the intention. He's 16, implied meaning. Anyway, interesting stuff. This is another point here about Shastra. Don't confuse the stories for the message. I've been around in different places where they give classes on the Bhagavatam, extended classes every day for 1 month, or etc. There's 3 months study of Bhagavatam. They have classes on Bhagavatam. And they pay so much attention to the story. Who are the players of the story? Who's the main actor? Who's the assistant actor? What is the plot? What is the setting? But they miss the message. So the whole purpose of Vedic Shastras, because it's Kali Yuga and we like stories. Otherwise, why is Netflix so successful? Netflix. It's successful because people like movies and stories, love stories, adventure stories, robberies, whatever, history, ancient history, Bahubali, some fighting, one guy fighting another guy. 15th century India, Mughal period, this period. People like history, like all stories of ancient stories, or modern stories, or sci-fi. So people like stories about the future, invisible realm of modern science and space exploration. They like stories of ancient history, familiar about Egypt, about Caesar feeding the Christians to the lions. That's fun, let's watch. Marcus Aurelius, Gladiator. Yeah, all the hot movies, you must have seen them all. One guy in a stadium, 50,000 people in a stadium, one guy with a little tiny knife and a shield and five lions. They let loose five lions. See if he can beat them up. So he did a good job, I got eaten. He became a pakora for the lions. So, because we like stories, Vyasadeva tells so many stories in the Bhagavatam and all his writings, but the real purpose of the story is a message. And we tell a story about Krishna and the bells at Gokul. So it's not, don't get lost in the story, get the message that Shastra is more important than even Krishna himself. The Shastra says, when Krishna eats, you're supposed to ring a bell. When Krishna's stealing butter, he told the bells not to ring. The bells were around the yogurt pot. Because the gopi wanted to catch Krishna. When he touches the pot, the bells will ring, ding, 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 like a burglar alarm. And the gopi will catch Krishna stealing her fresh butter. So Krishna said, look, bells, I'm Bhagavan, you have to follow me, don't ring. So he put his hand in, and it didn't ring. And he took it out, didn't ring. We put it in his mouth, started eating, then he started ringing. Hey, shut up. The lady came out and caught him. So he said, "Why, Wallace, why you rang?" He said, "I was confused. You're a personification of Shastra." And Shastra, you say, whenever Bhagavan, Ram, Krishna, Vishnu takes Boga, you have to ring a bell. Ding, 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 ding. So, but you're also Bhagavan directly, Swayam Bhagavan. You're telling me don't ring. So I said, what? Do I follow Swayam Bhagavan? Do I follow Shastra? That's what Krishna is saying in that story. A very interesting story. But you only remember the story, not the punchline. You're drunk. Yeah, you missed the point. So then Krishna said, yeah, you're right. Shastra first. Shastra is a Praman. And then Krishna said, yeah, you remind me. You bells, you remind me of a verse from the Gita, chapter 16, verse 24.
Yes, Shastra.
Tasmat Shastra Pramanam. Krishna says in 16, chapter, verse 24, Tasmat Shastra Pramanam. That's a Gita. Come on, man. I gave the Gita, you have to look at the book. 16, 24. So Krishna says the Gita, Krishna sees, he said, I'm not the Pramana, I'm not the evidence, I'm not the Shastras are. So he said, Guru Shastra and Sadhu. The first thing is Shastra and Sadhus represent, Gurus and Sadhus represent. Read.
Tasmat Shastram Pramanante Karya Karya Vyavastito Jnatva Shastra Vidhanoktam Karma Kartumihar Hasi.
Translation.
Therefore, scripture is the authority in determining what to do and what not to do. Understanding what is stated in the scripture, you should perform actions in this world.
So that's the thing. So I don't miss the message, don't get confused with the story of Shastra. Like in the Shringa story, okay, this lion came and saved this kid and all that. What's the message? What's the message of that story? Most people can tell all the stories about it, and they can't tell you what it means. They can't tell you the message or the meaning. I don't know, it's a good story, though. Anyway, so that's a nice point to think about. The stories are there to explain Vedic philosophy. In other words, a kid can't take medicine, so they dip it in sugar, sugar-coated vitamins. Yeah, here's some sugar, here's some candy. Okay, they always nice. He swallows the candy. See, he thinks it's candy and it's medicine. So the stories are the sugar coating. Philosophy with honey coating. That's the stories. The main thing that counts is the story, is the message, not the story. So sometimes you ask the question, well, wait a minute, which these shastras are confusing? But I read the story in Bhagavatam, it says that Parikshit sat 7 days on the bank of the Yamuna, or Ganges, I don't know, the Yamuna, I think Yamuna, and he listened to the Bhagavatam, and then a snake came and killed him. But the Mahabharata says he was hiding under the Yamuna in a submarine. He was hiding in a submarine because he was deathly. He was completely scared of getting killed in 7 days. But he knew he had 7 days to live, so he figured if he can escape the snake's bite in 7 days, then that curse will be over, because he was cursed to die in 7 days by a snake bite. So he hid under the Yamuna in a submarine. And people would come in through a tube and give him food and stuff. This is Mahabharata. Same Parikshit. Mahabharata Shastra is Praman. So the people get confused, they say, oh, forget all these books. So what happened is, on the seventh day, he was in a submarine under Yamuna, and the servant brought in his prasadi. And there was some apple. In the apple, there was a little tiny worm. So when he ate the apple, the worm turned into Tarksha. Tarksha is a big snake, which is a snake, same name, the same snake that bites that bites Parikshit in the Bhagavatam and kills him after 7 days of hearing Bhagavatam. Of course, he got liberated. He was attained prema by hearing Bhagavat Sapta. But in Mahabharata, he didn't attain prema, he didn't get liberated. He just got bitten by a snake and died. So is the story important or the message? The message. The message is if you hear the Bhagavatam, you become eternal and get liberated. If you don't, you don't, you won't. So that's the message. The message of Mahabharata is he was a scaredy cat king. He was afraid of death like everybody. Ahara Nidra Maitan Bhayam. Everyone is controlled by fear of death. Everything else is a sub-branch of that. So it's interesting. The message is the main thing. The message of friction of Bhagavatam is the power of Bhagavatam. Hear Bhagavatam and get liberated. In 7 days you can go to the spiritual world. So the story isn't important, the message is important. You understand what I'm trying to convey. This class is going to be many parts, but it's good. I think so, I don't know. Anybody else thinks? Stories about Krishna, like Krishna Lila, any story involving Krishna. Apart from giving a teaching and having some message, to some philosophy, conveying some philosophy, also has inherent spiritual power. There's a verse in the second canto of Bhagavatam, Srimatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Vijantaksa Yubhadrani Vidurnati Sitsritam. That you just hear about Krishna's stories, Krishna in the heart is Paramatma, he cleanses the heart of greed, anger, lust, and envy. So just by reading Krishna Lila, every day reading 10th canto of Bhagavatam or Krishna book or Govinda Lila, just reading without deriving, without trying to collect some message or learn some philosophy, just passively hearing stories about Krishna is actually elevating our consciousness, purifying our consciousness. It's like magic purification, magic elevation. Even if you don't understand the message of Krishna Lila, which is pretty esoteric, somewhat, just by hearing it, you're making spiritual advancement, step by step getting closer to the goal of spiritual perfection, which is Krishna prema. Okay, we'll continue there at 169 next week. That was our, lift these books up. Okay, good, thank you.